cliffcentral.com.
Got me begging, 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 begging. I talk to you.
Firing off emails this morning. I'm shot out of a cannon today. Yeah.
I love how there is no shame in your game.
Oh.
You are terrible at singing, but you do it anyway.
The best.
You do it with such confidence. You don't care how it affects us.
No. Does it upset you? Has it spoiled your morning?
No.
You can be honest with me. You don't have to be nice.
No.
All right, everybody. I just saw this from Salman Rushdie. He says he's definitely voting Hillary. Do you want to hear what he said?
Yeah, okay.
Listen to this. Salman Rushdie. He made a little note on his phone. He decided to jot this down. This is a prize-winning author. One of the best authors of our time. So, to recap. Trump will go on trial in November, accused of racketeering, and again in December, accused of child rape. He is a sexual predator. No, this is true. He is a sexual predator, hasn't released his tax returns, and has used his foundation's money to pay his legal fees. He has abused the family of a war hero. Oh, and let's talk about some emails Hillary didn't send from someone else's computer that weren't a crime anyway, because that's how to choose a president. Come on, America. Focus. That's what Salman Rushdie says this morning. And you know what's great is in about a week from now, we'll almost be finished with Election USA, which is, it felt like it's been going on for years and years and years, and it really has. I mean, we were talking about Trump this time last year. And we're still talking about him. We were talking about Hillary this time last year. And we're still talking about her. And I'm sick of them. I really am. I wish Michelle Obama would make herself available and just run against both of them and win. Wouldn't that be great?
But are you more sick of Trump and Hillary? Because I have found they have been a welcome distraction.
From
our own politics sometimes. You know, we feel so despondent. And, I mean, it's a bad thing to say, but you love hearing that other countries are dealing with their own demons.
Come on, man. Use the remaining portion of your brain to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you know, it makes you feel a little bit better about your situation.
I did see a couple of messages on Twitter this morning. I don't know how much accuracy there is here, but that the president is busy looking into the possibilities, busy canvassing and cajoling his cohorts into perhaps looking at the possibility of a presidential pardon, which would be an interesting way of resolving this situation. Let me ask you something. As a citizen of this country, wherever you are right now, just take a second to think about this and answer me as honestly as you can. If President Zuma said to you, look, I'll get out of your way, I will clear the path for the next person to take over, I will not be obstructive, I will remove all my tentacles from government, total honest recall, everything out, and I'll just go and live quietly in Kandla. In return, just don't prosecute me on those charges. Would you? Is it more important for us to hunt him down for every terrible thing he's done, or is it better to just get rid of him and come to a compromise? What would you go for? And we're all very quick to jump on the, oh, well, I've got principle and the law is the law and all that stuff. But just to get him out of the way, wouldn't it be worth looking into this? Am I the only one who thinks that might be a solution? Am I letting him off too easy?
Oof.
Think about it. What if he came with that deal? He said, here's the deal. Would you think about it?
But at what stage do you think that he's suddenly going to be honorable and actually follow through on his word?
Well, you hold him to it. Otherwise, you have the charges. You said him right. Unless you pull out of everywhere. You, the Premier League, all these dirty, nefarious networks of patronage, you're going to dismantle all of that. Sorry, but that's what you can keep Nkandla. You can be immune from prosecution until you're dead. You know, he's an old man now.
17, eh?
Yeah. Just to go away, that's the price we're willing to pay. You can have Nkandla, you can have whatever you've got left, and then you're out.
Gosh, you know, it's always such an individual opinion, this kind of thing. And a lot of the times, you know, people feel that if somebody is of a certain age, if they're old enough, then, you know, suddenly they start to feel sorry for them and they say, oh, but shame, guys, he's an old person. I mean, you know, just let him wither away and not have him be our problem anymore.
Yeah, some people don't like that, though. Some people think, you know, you've got to go to the precipice with this guy.
But you know what? People have double standards about that kind of thing. People have double standards about how they feel people should be punished, depending on how much they hate them.
Well, Temba says, I would get him out of the way and get him later. He really doesn't own us, and we don't owe him.
Okay.
So Temba says we can have both.
Yeah.
Romain, who does the Renegade Report, said he met Helen Ziller this weekend, and she signed his book. Her book, but she signed it for him. To Romain, from one troll to another. Keep on keeping on, Helen Ziller. Mm. How do you like that? She knows she's a troll.
Okay.
It's actually a bit of a badge of honor these days to be a really good troll, you know?
It depends what you're trolling in.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it also depends which Twitter faction is taking you down.
Right. Mark says, if you have watched Narcos, you would never cut a deal with someone like Zuma. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can't be trusted, huh?
They can't be trusted at any given stage.
And Louise says, hell yeah, just get rid of him. He can retire in peace as long as he leaves all the rest of us alone. Mikhail says, no, he will then never be gone. He will direct in silence. We would never even know. Once you have the taste for money and power, nothing changes. That's a good point. So in other words, you've got to go hard. And then Lou says on the Touch Central app, where you can message directly to the screen, if we let the president off, we could get a serious precedent in place for the next person who could inflict more harm and hold us to ransom to let them go.
Yeah, but I mean, historically speaking in this country, how many of our past presidents have actually been held account?
Held to account
for any of the bad things that they did, if we have to be really honest. How many of them have had to pay and suffer in jail, behind bars? How many of them?
So many. So many haven't. All right, it's Monday morning.
So the precedence has already been set.
It's Monday morning. Let's see what's in the news. Mubs, you've got a couple of stories for us that we need to know about, so let's get into it. Come on, we want to be informed
on a Monday. Should we talk about our former finance minister? And I am talking about Des van Rooyen, because yes, even though he was the weekend special, he was still finance minister at some point.
Before you do that, do you know who our guests are this morning?
No.
We've got some really interesting people popping by. They've written a book called Rogue. It's all about that rogue unit in SARS. They were in SARS, both of them, Johan van Lochrenberg and Adrian Lequet. They're going to pop in and tell us all about the book and tell us how it all works, because they walked in just now and I thought, oh my God, SARS are here to audit us.
Did you get a little bit of a chill down your spine?
I felt a cold, wet feeling down the inside of my leg. And then I realized, oh no, they're here for the interview. Thank God.
Thank goodness.
You know, because when you see SARS people, you see SARS people, you know exactly what that means.
Make sure that you've got all your affairs in order.
Oh, hell yes. All right. But I'm very excited to speak to them. I was at their book launch the other night, and some very exciting people pitched up there in the crowd. And I think that we could probably find out from them all about whether or not this rogue unit was established with the nefarious purposes.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is going on now? Perhaps they have an idea of what Tom Moyane and Sean Abrams are up to. But it's a fascinating book. And I would encourage anyone who wants to know just how deep the skullduggery runs to get a copy of this book, Rogue. It's available in good bookstores now. So you were saying the finance minister.
Former finance minister.
Former finance minister.
No, Des van Rooyen.
Trevor. We've got so many in the last while.
No,
you're talking about Weekend Special.
Weekend Special. Des van Rooyen, he was our finance minister
at some point, guys. For 3 whole days.
For 3 whole days. Anyway, so, you know, he was hogging all the headlines over the weekend. And the Democratic Alliance are now adamant that they are going to take Des van Rooyen to the public protector because it was revealed that he had misled Parliament. Not too long ago, while in Parliament, the DA had posed a whole number of questions to Des van Rooyen. They were asking him to elaborate more on the meetings that he supposedly took at the Gupta compound, you know, how many times he had gone to the Gupta compound. Des van Rooyen had responded that he had never, ever, ever, ever been there. And then over the weekend, it was revealed that not only had Des van Rooyen gone to meet with the Guptas at the compound once, not even twice or three times, but 7 times, people. All of that were revealed in Sunday reports. Yeah, it was in a written reply to the DA parliamentary question that Des van Rooyen had said, I have never met with the Guptas. I don't know what you're talking about.
So but this is in parliament. He's lying.
He's lied. He lied in parliament, which is why the DA are now saying, okay, off to the public protector with you, van Rooyen. The DA's parliamentary chief whip, John Steenhuisen, said clearly he, this is now van Rooyen, was misleading in his reply, and in so doing he has contravened the executive ethics code. And so Busisiwe Mkhwebane will have yet another new agenda or, you know, matter of urgency to deal with on her plate.
Gee, what a lot of skullduggery. It's a good word, huh?
It is a good word. Yeah. Is it one of those old-fashioned words? Because I don't hear it being used a lot these days.
I don't see a lot of people duggery around skulls at the moment, but clearly it comes from somewhere.
Is that what it means? Like the literal translation of...
No, who knows? I'm not going to pretend I know that stuff. It's Monday. Give me a break. I just know that it's a real word, and it means what it is.
And it is what it means.
That's 100%. I couldn't have said it better.
If you were in the kind of situation where money was no object, you didn't have to worry about it. And you
I dream of that, yes. Yeah,
and you also have children.
Yes.
What kind of parent do you think you would be with regards to how much money you leave behind for your children? Let's say that you are worth multiple millions, because Bill Gates has again given an interview as to why him and Melinda have decided that their children are not going any of their money.
Oh, I would sue if I were those children. I would be furious. Your dad is the richest man in the world, and he's just determined not to leave you anything.
Goodness, I don't even know how much Bill Gates is worth these days. But
oh, it's a couple of 70 billion or something.
Yeah, there was a documentary that I caught a little bit of it over the weekend. It just basically outlines and details the story of Bill Gates and how he came to be who he is. And I mean, I don't know if you remember, because I didn't, that back in 1998, there was that whole trial that he went through, which ultimately ended in the Department of Justice settling the case because Microsoft were accused of being a monopoly and also engaging in abusive practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill Gates kind of went away, and then he came back and reinvented himself as, you know, the philanthropist that he now is.
Right.
Very interesting journey for Bill Gates. But yes, he has again given an interview as to why him and his wife have decided that they won't leave any money to his children. He said, look, my children, you know, will pay for their education, but that's about as far as we go. He says, it's not a favor to your children to have to leave them huge sums of wealth. It distorts anything that they might do, creating their own path. Gates went on to say that his children understand the decision that has been taken by him and Melinda. In fact, he says that their children are proud of the decision that they've made.
You watch that change. Let me tell you something. You got billions on the line. It's not so funny when you don't get them. And I wish Donald Trump would have done this with his children, or his father would have done this with him. We wouldn't have this problem in America at the moment. Have you seen those douchebag kids of his? And I'm talking about the two sons. I don't have a problem with Ivanka.
Oh, that's not because you're biased in any way whatsoever.
I'm totally biased. Are you kidding? Have you seen her?
Oh,
the
dear.
Two of them, though, look like they absolutely would be hanging around a school looking at the children. Those two sons. Total creeps.
See, I don't think that a lot of us, if we were parents with Bill Gates' money, I think that most of us would actually just leave the bulk of the money to our children.
We would.
Yeah. I think Bill and Melinda Gates are in the minority on this one. Most parents would be like, hey, I can afford it. My kids must have the best.
Definitely. Not even a question.
And when I die, I want to know that the money stays in the family.
Well, I mean, you could see that Trump's children have never heard the word no. They pretty much got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted it, right?
Which, you know, Gates has criticized and says, you're not doing your children any favor with that kind of behavior.
Wow. All right. Ben, Quentin says, I'm listening to your sport on cliffcentral.com this morning. It seems like you couldn't be less interested in the sport this weekend. Were you a bit miserable about the sport?
It's not referring to you.
No. I think it's... maybe it is me. Maybe he's referring to me. But you did say that the Soweto Derby, the game itself, was boring. But otherwise, you were quite complimentary.
Guys, I think he's referring to you.
Okay.
I think, again,
I'll take it, Quentin, but you need to be clearer. Greg says, maybe I'm being a bit negative, but Mabali is mentioning the public protector not having so much clout anymore.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Tembeni says, Gareth, I would lock the number one man away.
Okay, so jail for the president.
An example for those to follow. She says she would not do any kind of deal. There would not be a compromise. And Tanya says, have a fabulous day, everybody. I just woke up with a cramp in my ass. Isn't that nice?
Well, I mean, do you want to tell us how you got that cramp?
People want to share this stuff with us. I suggest, Tanya, you give us more detail around that cramp and how it happened. All right, let's see a couple of headlines. It is 7:30. We'll check in on a few of the big stories going on today so that you know what's happening, and Ben will update us on the sport. All of that and more coming right up.
Conflagration Asset Management will give you back 60% less than you should get when you retire. We never stop working to charge you management fees, performance fees, administration fees, and trading costs. Because when it comes to making money off your retirement, we're in this together.
At Signia, we won't help ourselves to 60% of your retirement money because we use revolutionary technology to eliminate unnecessary fees. Talk to your financial advisor or go to signia.co.za. That's SYGNIA. Signia Asset Management is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
It's Beautiful Now. It's Zed featuring John Bellion. And Beautiful Now. Nice, huh? Yeah, happy days. All right, it's Monday, everybody, the last day of October. We got lots to do today, people to see, places to go, interesting people to chat to. Don't forget, in a little while, Johan van Lochenberg and Adrian Lequet will be in to talk about the book which they've just written. It's called Rogue, The Inside Story of SAR's Elite Crime Busting Unit. And absolutely at the heart of what's going on in all these complex machinations in politics in South Africa right now. So, in case you're interested in a really good story, you've stumbled upon the right thing today, because we will uncover a bunch of really exciting information. And I urge you also, it's one of those books that everybody says, you know, people say this, but this is really one of those books that really blows the lid off of a whole lot of stuff that we would never otherwise have known, unless these two brave men had decided to write this book. So I'm thrilled to have them in to talk to us this morning. And we'll take your calls from now right the way through. Mavs, do you want to give us some headlines since it's 7:30?
Yes. Gareth, you asked the question of would you be happy if the president, you know, went quietly away to live in Nkandla all by himself and not have any dealings with the country? And yes, over the weekend, according to at least one ANC veteran, you know, the suggestion is that President Jacob Zuma should be given a presidential pardon.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democratic Alliance are not having any of that. No, sir. The DA are said to be mulling over laying charges against the president for lying under oath.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
Exactly. These would be perjury charges if the DA decide to go through it. Yesterday, the party submitted an affidavit to the North Gauteng High Court opposing two applications which were submitted by the president regarding the report into state capture. Hmm. In the first application, the president has sought to amend the relief he seeks and supplement his founding affidavit. And then in the second application, the president has sought to postpone the hearing on the matter to November the 1st, which is actually tomorrow. But the Democratic Alliance have shot down these applications, saying that no, these are just technical maneuvers being used by the president to delay the process. And now they're deciding on whether or not they want to charge the president with perjury for lying under oath.
Wow, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's not going to be as simple as that.
No.
Let's talk about our water situation for a minute, shall we?
Well, do we have any?
Depending on which parts of the country, you might have water, and other parts, not so much. It is officially a crisis. So parts of Midrand and Soweto were without water over the weekend. And according to Johannesburg Water, they said that the Erand Reservoir and Tower were almost empty due to high consumption. Right. The problem here seems to be how we are consuming water. The word from, you know, the various departments is that we need to be more responsible with the way that we use water.
Mm-hmm.
Our dams are empty. And in Cape Town, the city of Cape Town is implementing level 3 water restrictions as of tomorrow, which means that from November the 1st, Cape Townians are going to be punished, if you will, for, you know, using things like your garden hose. How dare you?
Yeah.
For, you know, filling up your portable swimming pool. How dare you?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
There isn't enough water to go around. Mm-hmm. So the city of Cape Town is implementing level 3 water restrictions as of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The city is also advising residents to install water-efficient infrastructure in a bid to save water.
Well, it's a very dodgy situation. Someone just sent me a message to say, you know what, Casper Nyovest is so good at filling things. Can he fill the dams?
That's a nice ask. And then Italy was struck by its 4th earthquake in 3 months yesterday morning.
Yeah, I got to say, I think God really hates Italy because Flax was there just a short while ago. You remember you were in the middle of that earthquake, right?
That was like a 6 or 7 earthquake magnitude.
Yeah, it was you felt it.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That was back in August when the first earthquake struck when Flax was there. That earthquake killed nearly 300 people. It flattened villages around the mountain town of Amatrice.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's quake was a 6.6 on the Richter scale. It injured 20 people and leveled a historic basilica.
Mm.
They say that Sunday's was the strongest to hit the country in more than 3 decades. The deadly series of tremors has destroyed many historic buildings as well as landmarks. And really the question now is, you know, are more dangerous tremors on the way for Italy? It just seems like they've been dealing with a lot since August. 4 quakes back to back.
Jesus, a mess.
Yeah.
It's a total. I'm telling you now, there's something going on in Italy. Like they've angered God somehow.
Well, apparently, central Italy has a long history with earthquakes. So, you know, for the people in the know, the scientists and, you know, people observing and monitoring the seismic activity, you know, they seem to be saying that, oh, no, this is very typical of central Italy. It's prone to these kinds of things, tectonic plates shifting and all that stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to throw in there, Max?
No, that's it.
That's good. Then let's go to Ben and see what's happening in the sport. Ben, over to you.
Yeah, Gareth, lots of cricket on at the moment. Pakistan, well, Sharjah isn't quite the easiest place to play in the world.
Sharjah.
Abu Dhabi and Dubai, that's very, very simple, and they always beat teams there. Sharjah, though, a bit more life in the pitch.
Uh-huh.
And 2-5-5-8, they'll resume in a couple of minutes against the West Indies. West Indies are 2-0 down in the series, but they're looking for a consolation prize. England were absolutely hammered by Bangladesh yesterday. 108 runs, they lost that second test by. They were 100 for 0, and then they lost 10 wickets for 64 runs. Boo-hoo-hoo. Although, you know, I love England. They're so good for world sport because they're always making things very entertaining. In other cricket news, New Zealand were absolutely hammered by India. They were all out for less than 80 runs in the weekend, which is quite something considering all the Indian players had their mothers' names on their jerseys, which made it even worse.
Why do you have a problem with people showing their mothers love?
No, it was just kind of weird. Like, they're wearing their mothers' names and they were even better than usual. It's just like a strange thing. Who bowled you out? Oh, it was Magda. No, it was actually that guy. No. Yeah, it was pretty funny. And there was no rugby of the weekend because this is where it all begins now. Huge international month ahead because the All Blacks are away, Australia away, South Africa obviously away, all playing Northern Hemisphere games. So we're going to get into that close to the weekend. But in the football, 0-0 for the Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs. Big match there.
Yeah.
It was slightly more entertaining in the English Premier League, though. All the big teams scored big time. Big time. Chelsea won. They were 2-0 away at Southampton. Man City, they finally got another win. Pep Guardiola was terrible throughout the month of October, not getting any away wins whatsoever. But he got one over the weekend, hammering West Brom 4-0. Arsenal were too good for Sunderland. Well, everything's too good for Sunderland right now. They're still yet to get a win in the Premier League this year. And Liverpool 4-2 at Crystal Palace. Man United tried so hard, but they could not get a square into a circle all weekend. 0-0
mm-hmm.
Against Burnley. And that was kind of it for the football from the weekend. Andy Murray, he won over the weekend in Vienna. So he is getting closer to Novak Djokovic. So he's got a tweet now saying that King of the North is saying that if Murray wins in Paris,
yeah,
and Djokovic loses before the final of the Paris Masters, then yeah, Andy Murray will be the world number one.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that, huh? And Lewis Hamilton's kept his title defense alive by winning the Mexican Grand Prix in what was always going to be a Mercedes 1-2. There was other stuff happening in places 3rd to 5th, but it's all about Rosberg and Hamilton. Rosberg does still lead, and as long as he finishes 2nd in the next 2 races, he'll have this thing wrapped up.
Beautiful.
That's pretty much it, but today I have a big sporting show for you on cliffcentral.com, the Bounce Show at 10 a.m., talking cricket and talking women's golf.
Excellent. Speaking of sporting shows, I see Auto Central are on this morning with a terrific lineup as always. They've always got some fascinating guests popping by. They've always got some really interesting discussions around everything and anything to do with wheels in South Africa. So you don't want to miss this. If you're a petrol head or if you're just somebody who occasionally likes to dip into what's going on with everything from how our roads work to e-tolls to the sexiest sports car on the road to simple ways to save on a petrol price which has gone up. These are all the things that they cover in the Auto Central show on cliffcentral.com at 9 o'clock every Monday morning live, or if you like, you can get the podcast anytime that it suits you. That's Auto Central. It's brought to you by Auto Trader, which is the best place to buy and sell cars in South Africa. There's just nothing else you should be thinking about. Whether you're looking for something special and something sexy and something exciting, or whether you're just looking for a skorokor.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll struggle to find those on the site, but you can find cheaper cars. I mean, there are things.
Yes, it's no very affordable cars.
Mavs, you always complain about your car, but you know.
Shame. I mean, what am I going to do?
Has it got a name?
No.
You should really name it. It would make you a little bit nicer when it comes to the things you say
about
that.
And my car has been so good to me. Shame.
Yeah, it has. And you treat it so badly.
I don't treat it badly.
You talk about it like it's the worst car in the world.
No, I mean, I just, you know.
I want Auto Central to do a special on Mabali's car.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, like deal with, because a car has a psychology. And your car, I don't think, is a happy car. It
what?
Gives and gives and gives, and you just hate it. You say terrible things about it. Yes.
I've had my car for so many years, and you know, the fact that it's still running and it takes care of me means that I've taken good care of it.
Well,
it's going in for service again this week because I'm good to my car like
I've heard you park it in very dangerous places.
No, I mean, I sometimes, you know, dispose of dead bodies using the car, but that's really the worst that I've ever done. Otherwise, I take care of that little thing.
All right. And by the way, Rich Mulholland's coming up in a moment or two to give us his reality check, which is Mondays. It's one of our favorite things on a Monday because Rich breezes in here right off his motorbike. He comes in, he unleashes a torrent of noise and anger and sometimes frustration. And then before you even blink, he's out of there. So he's coming up next too. Lots of good stuff to get stuck into this morning, as well as Rogue, the inside story of SARS elite crime-busting unit with Johan van Ockenberg and Adrian Lekay. It's going to be one hell of a morning. Here's some black coffee for you. You need coffee? You need black coffee in the morning? This is the one with Shekinah. Your eyes. It's got a hell of a voice. That's Shekinah with black coffee in your eyes. Yes. It's about 12 minutes to 8. Rich Mulholland coming up with a reality check. But before we get to that, I stumbled upon this comment that Scarface, you know who Scarface is, right? The rapper. Do you remember him? Does anyone remember him? I remember him.
I don't really remember him. He must be one of the veterans, ne?
He is. This is. Let me play you one of his songs to remind you of how brilliant he was in his time. Listen to this. Wait for the voice. You might just recognize the man. And then I'll tell you what he says. He hates every other modern rapper. He says that all this new generation of rappers heap of bullshit. He's got a set fire to them and throw them on the rubbish heap. I'm seeing millions,
don't understand. Oh, yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah.
Let's just let it get to the chorus. It's worth it. I'm giving a living definition. Long as my heart's taking, I fought and make the world listen. Whatever flop, Dr. Trey invented. Turn on the box and let my son watch these studio clowns on 60 inches. I'll push a rover. Shit platinum. In this song, he's actually with Dr. Dre and Ice Cube. So it's like rap royalty, right? Because when I get my hustle on, ain't no playing with a soul. Lord, please murder my enemies. Burn them at 1,000 degrees. And Lord, please let me make mo' cheese. Because I ain't quite ready to leave. Right, so that was Scarface with Game Over. Now, he was asked about rappers today. He means like your Drakes and your Lil Waynes and those guys. So listen.
Like, there's no fucking way that you can tell me that it's not a conspiracy against the blacks in hip hop. Because you put out fucking records that make us look stupid. You make us look dumb.
I wanna know how you got here. I wanna know who let you in. Baby girl, come on.
It is where I call that rap from Poppin' with Beautiful.
These are, by the way, these are some of the rappers that he's criticizing. Did you hear that song that we just played now? He says that rap music makes black people sound stupid and it's a conspiracy.
Oh, dear.
Listen.
You make us look dumb.
I wanna know how you got here. I wanna know who let you in. Baby girl, come on.
It is where I call that rap from Poppin' with Beautiful, Florida. I'm barely in Tupac and Biggie.
If you pull up, I'm telling you right now, if you pull out one of my old beats, I'm not rapping on it. You see me, bro? I am a rock star, bro. I'm not rap.
Now, this is, I don't know which rapper this is. I'm not.
That's so hard to keep up. There's so many
one
of them.
One of these, what are they called? The money, what are they? What?
Young Money.
Young Money, Cash right. Money, billionaires.
Right, those useless sacks of shit. Here, listen to this. This guy's talking about how he won't rap on an old beat because he's too good for that. Listen, things have moved on, he says.
Oh, okay.
You see me, bro? I am a rock star, bro. I'm not rapping on that type stuff.
All the old ass niggas talking about how I need to stay the same. Now, let me talk on this real quick. See, I feel like all these old ass niggas need to stop hating on the young youth because we're doing old as fucking old. Suck it up and understand that rap ain't the same no more. I don't have to spit a fucking cold 16 no more. Fuck that shit, bro. If I want to make some turnt shit, bro. If I want to say, yeah, the whole track, and it turned up people because the beat turned, fuck it. It's not the same, bro. Niggas is not doing spin moves on cardboard boxes no more. Like, bro, this, who cares? I'm telling you, bro, the youth don't care. Nobody raps like Scarface anymore. Like,
so now he gets really annoyed, right? Because they play this to him. So you want to hear Scarface's comments after that diatribe? This guy's going to be furious.
Play God with a culture? You want to change this shit? You want to wash this out in 20 years? I remember back in the days, man, like Kid Flash had it so fucking tough. You know, MC Hammer had it so fucking tough. And now that shit is like cool now. I don't want 25 years to go by and my kids is 25 years old talking about, man, my grandfather was Scarface, but, and they like, who? My grandfather was Blastmaster KRS-One. My grandfather was DJ Cool Herc. Really? Who's that? Nobody even know who the fuck Herc is, and he invented this shit. All right? Like, this shit's serious to me, man. I take this shit bigger than just a rhyme to me. It's a way of life. It's a culture. You know, respect the brand, dude. If you gave a fuck about this culture in any kind of shape, form, or fashion, you would not put the shit out that you put out.
Right.
You would fucking slam the door on artists that came in there with that shit.
And that, Flex, you completely disagree with Scarface, right?
I wouldn't say I disagree.
Oh, so you do think that there's value in old school rap?
There's definitely value in old school rap. I mean, every rap sort of tells a story.
Yep.
From a different age that people grew up in.
Look, I don't want to side with the old guys entirely because otherwise it makes me sound like I'm trying to keep things as they are instead of letting them evolve.
Mm.
But David Crosby, do you know who he is? Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, one of the greatest rock bands of all time. He took a lot of drugs when he was younger. I mean, this guy, his brain is fried, but okay. He does not like Kanye West.
Uh-oh.
He said some things over the weekend about Kanye West. This is pretty hardcore. He said, if you really want to know what a rock star is, pay attention to this.
You were about to say...
I'm saying unlike Kanye West.
Unlike Kanye West.
He can neither sing nor write nor play.
Right. So do you think he can not write? I mean...
Yeah, that one's iffy. He certainly can't play anything, and he certainly doesn't sing. I mean... The thing that bugs me about him is I'm the world's greatest living rock star.
Right.
Somebody should drive him over to Stevie Wonder's house.
Right.
Right now, so that he understands what a real one is. Secondly, they should send him all of Ray Charles's catalog so he can learn how to sing.
Very good.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, but you know what? This is always going to be the argument, though, isn't it? Between an older generation and then a newer, younger generation doing things differently.
Right.
There's always going to be that disagreement of, you little punks aren't good enough and you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the response will be, shut up, man, you're too old. Your time has gone.
But something I found quite disturbing is that Stevie Wonder, all that kind of stuff, Michael Jackson's era, not one of them said, I'm the greatest, I'm so the best
well,
in the
Michael
world.
Well, Michael did. He's the king of pop.
Yeah.
No, but he was the king of pop through various, like, albums that did that. Whereas now, every rapper who ain't worth shit, the first line they go is, I'm the greatest.
Yeah.
No, you're not shit. You're nothing.
Look at
but
you,
it's
got
to be, I'm the greatest, I'm this, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing.
But don't you think that that's because that is the formula that they're currently following and they don't know how to do it any other way? They've seen the four other rappers before them do it, so then when they start, they're like, oh, seemingly I'm supposed to brag about how I'm the greatest.
Which proves the point. None of them are shit because they think they've got to do it in a certain way. No one's doing anything different or original. They're following this stupid script.
It's also a sort of way of differentiating yourself from other rappers. Everyone's a rapper, but I'm the greatest. Like, take Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest rapper alive. And that was his little quote, and everyone looked up to him for that.
It gets your attention.
Okay, so now everyone's saying it, so therefore this whole differentiating process is just not
the funniest thing to me is how Ben said, you ain't shit. That is funny, because that's not how Ben talks.
That's the only phrase that actually depicts what's going on here. What are you? I'm nothing. Ain't shit.
Oh, wow. All right. Do you want to hear something that Will.i.am and Apple the App have done?
I'm sorry.
You know,
I actually haven't heard from Apple the App in a while because Will.i.am is kind of the star of that whole thing.
Apple
the
App was in the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes,
with him.
I know.
They worked. What are you? Are you disparaging Apple the App?
No, I'm saying.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm saying Will.i.am was kind of the front man of the Black Eyed Peas, so you don't really hear from Apple the App and.
And who is the other guy?
I don't know who the other guy is. And then there's Fergie, obviously.
There's Apple the App, there's Will.i.am, and there's...
Bobon?
And there was Bobon? Firethorn or...
Who's the other guy,
Black
Flex? Look him up.
Black Eyed Peas. Will.i.am, there's that long, tally dude.
No, we need names.
Yeah, yeah. Mabs will look it up.
Tally.
Anyway, listen to what they've done. They've written a song for Donald Trump.
I'm a star, because I made it. I'm rich, and I'm famous. Woo! Donald Trump said to grab you by the pool. Donald Trump said to grab you by the pool. Yeah, baby, I'm a star, and I'm famous. Woo! Donald Trump said to grab you by the pool. Donald Trump said to
grab him by the pussy.
No, you got it all wrong. I'm a woman, and I'm strong.
All right.
And don't you forget.
What you gonna do when they kill another black man? Tell me how you plan to make America great again. What you gonna do when they only wanna hate again? When I'm president, I won't be like Obama. If anyone talks about me, I'll bomb him. I'm grabbing that like there's no tomorrow. And if we have problems with Russia, I'll bomb. What you gonna do about Al-Qaeda and ISIS? What you gonna do about Syria and crisis? What you gonna do when you step in the door? Will the rich stay richer and the poor stay poor?
No!
You like this? Grabbing by the pussy? That's the song.
Taboo is the other member's name.
Taboo, right. Of course.
Look at you going, as if you knew who he was.
Hey, just one last thing about Trump, because there is so much about, this week it's all a very big, ugly mess. But listen to this quickly. Here is Gloria Allred, who is that very famous lawyer, saying to Donald Trump, if you're going to sue your accusers, we're going to sue you right back.
If Mr. Trump actually acts on his threat to sue the accusers of Mr. Trump, whom I represent, I would certainly defend my clients vigorously. And in addition, I would recommend to them that they cross-complain against Mr. Trump, meaning file a lawsuit against Mr. Trump alleging defamation, because he has called them liars and has stated that what they have said is fiction. So I say to Mr. Trump, be careful what you wish for, because you may find yourself at the other end of a lawsuit, in which case we would look forward to your testimony under oath. And of course, Mr. Trump, you would realize that we or any other lawyers representing accusers whom you have sued or who may sue you would look forward to the opportunity to asking you about any sexual interactions you have had with the women with whom you've had sexual interactions.
She's not holding back. She's the kind of lawyer you want, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely on top of this Donald Trump situation. Anyway, it's Gloria Allred. She's done a number of really high-profile cases in America, and she's not afraid to take on another one. All right, it's 8 o'clock. Where is Rich? Is he coming, Flex? I thought you said he was definitely coming.
He was definitely coming. Okay. Even on Friday, he was definitely coming.
Okay, well, I think we must get on with it and talk to Johan van Lochrenberg and Adrian Lacay. That's coming up next. The book is called Rogue. The inside story of SARS's elite crime-busting unit. And you'll want to know how this works. Trust me, the book lays it out very nicely. They give you the inside track on what happened in SARS over the course of about 5-6 years of the establishment of this elite crime-busting unit, of what its purpose was, and how it pretty much became smeared and called the rogue unit, as if there was something nefarious going on there. We'll find out from guys who were inside how it was all laid out and what exactly went down. That's all coming up. And we'll take your calls to 0861-555-189. You know what to do. Give us a call. CliffCentral.com.